We are up and running. So first, we want to apologize, all right? Because I don't know. I feel like we were dealing with a good bit of spiritual warfare on the way here. I gave my phone to my kids because my son, who loves Legos, created a Lego boat and wanted to record the boat underwater. So he took the phone that we gave him. Now, mind you, he's 9, so he's beyond excuse for this, right? Don't feel sorry for him. He took the phone, put it underwater, trying to record, you know, his Lego boat or whatever. So I gave him my phone, gave them my phone, our 14. Can you pull it up? Our oldest son is away at the moment. This is too fancy, bro. Press down. All right. So to the right there is Zarell. He is 14, be 15 next week. And he's actually at Morehouse. And he's a part of this STEM program. He's doing STEM Academy this summer. So we left the other four at home by themselves. And so these are the ones that I'm telling the story about. Zoe is our second to oldest, and she'll be 14 also in 2 weeks. So we got two almost twins. Anyway, she's the head of that crew today. And so we left our phones with them. We got on the road, just realized it about 15 minutes away from the house. But we were like, we can't turn back now because we'll be late getting here. And so we're like, we got to press through. No phones, four kids at home, right? And we can't call and say, hey, we're going to be late because we don't have a phone, right? You know. And so we just want to apologize. That's not our normal disposition. But thank you all for your patience. And without any further ado, I'll continue to introduce my other children. Zacchaeus is the youngest boy standing there. He's 9. Zori is the young one with the big, beautiful smile. She's 6. And then our 10-year-old is right in the middle there, is Zion. And so as our brother mentioned, this is my wife, Naima. We've been married for 16 years now. And I basically married her when she was 10. I just praise God that she has incredible genes and looks awesome to look her age. So. But here's the thing. I think one of the things that has been an incredible benefit to us is the context of community that the Lord has afforded us as a couple. I think we can say with a good level of confidence that without that dynamic in our relationship, things would be a lot more rocky. I don't know if we would have made it through some places and spaces where we have been in life. And I'm not alone in thinking this. I actually have a few popular opinions that actually concur with this idea of community. And this is, again, from popular culture, a psychologist from Yale. And she says, every marriage exists in a force field of communal relationships. Without a strong force field, an individual marriage is more vulnerable. Do you generally agree or disagree with that? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Some common grace there, right? We'll give them that. Here's our crew from Focus on the Family, and one of the quotes from that ministry. It says, it takes a village to sustain a marriage, taken from the African proverb that it takes a village to raise a child. I think it's applicable here. It says, it's vital for to regularly connect with like-minded couples that are committed to your relationship. I totally butchered that, but you can see it. It's up there. Sorry about that. Generally would agree, right? Well, I think we actually probably have the best summarization of that idea of communal relationship in Romans and written to the church in Rome by the Apostle Paul. He says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Well said, Paul. Thank you, Lord, for preserving that truth. So this evening, I want to talk about living out marriage in community. Just the reality that it's a community affair, something that we get into together and we benefit from as we do. And so here's where we're going. A few points. One is the purpose. The purpose of marriage and community is a reason, and then the purpose gives reason for living out marriage and community. We'll look some more in detail explaining that. And then we'll look at some of the pitfalls, like what are the myths and the pitfalls to avoid in thinking about marriage in a biblical community. And then the potential. We'll look at how can we make the most of the community. It's a lot of potential there. It's a blessing to have a community. How do we maximize that potential? And then look at a few promises to close out. What has God promised to give us in light of this, you know, living in this community? And so I want to start by looking at a text that communicates the same idea. Those are the 4 points. Sorry, I'm a little behind on those. And we'll look this evening at 1 Corinthians 12. Sorry, the font is super small, but if you have your electronic device with you or the old school paper copy, we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. And it reads, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized in one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand,' it does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it." I thought that was sweet. Just where he wants it. "How strange your body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I do or don't need you.' The head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the body, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it." Long text, that's a no-no most of the time, but I thought it was familiar enough and applicable enough to what we're talking about tonight that it was worth it. And so I think we see 4 things in this text, and I'm going to move through them rather quickly just so that we can get to the next point. I'll make the most of you guys' time. But it's there up on the screen. They're already there. The first point is that in verse 12, what Paul communicates is that the purpose of community, the body of Christ, and the way that we're talking about a marriage within that community, the purpose is to reflect Christ, right? It's his body, and we are a part of it, although we're many members. The second is there in verses 14, 20, and 27, is getting at this idea of realizing our oneness, That although we're different families, different individuals, different marriages, different couples, different circumstances, different backgrounds, whatever the case may be, we are one in Christ. And so in many ways, we're really trying to live out this oneness that we have in the community. We're one as a couple, and we're one as a couple engulfed in the body of Christ. And then the third there is that we are reliant on each other. Did you get the language there? So we're saying like the head can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. We're mutually dependent on each other. And even more so, if one part of the body is shown honor and is built up, then what it says is that we're all honored. What's the saying? A rising tide raises all ships, right? Or all boats. One of them. You know, you get it. And then lastly is this idea of regarding each member as a significant member. Because again, as Paul was talking about this body dynamic, he's saying there's some parts of the body that need extra attention. It needs to be covered more. And so as a whole body, we're going to bestow that honor upon them. And there's others that don't necessarily need that same kind of delicate care. It's not saying that they're better or worse. They're just different. And we're going to be, as a body, bestowing that on them. And so we take this dynamic and we want to apply that to our marriages within the context of the community. Some of our marriages are doing a lot. They're flourishing, a lot more healthy. In some ways, some are floundering. And, you know, we got to give some special attention to that. We need to cover this couple in prayer. We need to come alongside them and supplement some things because they need some more honor. You get the idea? We're all in it together. And so with that said, this idea of the complexity of relationships between a married couple and a community that this couple lives in marriage covenant with is a special dynamic. Because Paul talks about it in a context and uses this analogy of the human anatomy. Like, no, we need every part. Regardless of, you know, what popular science says, we need every single organ, ligament, tendon that we have within our bodies. God created it there for a purpose. And in the same way, we need every single family to be strong within the body of Christ so that we can be a healthy community and flourish together. So with that said, the reality is that there are some pitfalls as we try to live this out, right? It's a great concept. We believe it. But there are some pitfalls. And I just wanted to ask my wife, as we tried to live this thing out, what were some of the things that she encountered? Just because of the way that she's wired, I may not feel it as much. But she does, and I think she can give voice to some of these dynamics that we've talked about. And so I just asked her to share some of those pitfalls. I'll work your slide.
So just like Wamba said, while we may feel strongly about the importance of living out our marriage in a community, I must say that it's not always been a beautiful picture. Just it's been messy at times, it's been hard, it's been tiring. So we're not speaking from like all the highs of it, because it's been some lows. But I feel like the Lord has helped us to gain a great perspective on how to properly think about our community, because again, we need each other. So I just want to talk about some of the myths and the pitfalls to avoid in thinking about our community. And the first is just having unrealistic expectations. Romans 3:23 says, you know, we all sin and we all fall short of God's glory. Not to say that we shouldn't have any expectations. We should have expectations of holiness and godliness. But sometimes we have these very unrealistic expectations of one another. Mm-hmm. We expect people to give us more than what they can give us. Some people just, again, like Wama was saying, like they're not completely in a healthy place. And I mean, they may have some challenges and we just have these unrealistic expectations. Or sometimes there are people who are just not willing to give more. And just some relationships we've had where we've tried to work out community is like we're, you know, sharing and being transparent, and the other person is just like, you know, everything is great. And that's a very difficult place to be. So my expectations had to change. I had to realize, like, that person or the couple or whatever are not the whole body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So I can't just do away with wanting to live that out because of a few couples or a few people who may have just put on a mask. It's kind of like they're lost. Mm-hmm. So realizing that, you know, we can't think too highly of ourselves. And we just have to be sober-minded and just know that as believers, we're a work in progress. And the second point is just setting ourselves up as judge. Sometimes wrongly judging others' motives and intents can be a pitfall. You know, we assume that people are avoiding you or they have ill thoughts towards you. And that's just the enemy who wants to constantly cause division. So sometimes we can have just setting ourselves up to judge the situation wrongly or judging others' characters, either by appearance or what they do, and just kind of writing off that relationship before it even starts. Mm. And the other is just wrongly judging a future. Thinking about, well, if we begin to build a relationship with that couple, it's probably not going to go anywhere, or you may judge that it's going to hit it off right away, and then it doesn't happen, and you're disappointed, and you're just like, I'm done with community. And so that's the second point. And the other is undermining the potential of other believers. And when I think about this, I think about not just being a community, like Wama and I, we're in community with other married couples, but with other single people, with the church, period, because if they have the word of God, they have something to offer. Mm-hmm. It says iron sharper iron, as you know, another man sharpens another. So the reality is they have something to offer. And not, I know sometimes I've just heard, like, you know, I'm not in that season of life, so therefore, you know, I can't speak to this. And I'm like, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, I have quite a few single friends who speak into my life as a mother who have not had children but can say there is things that can speak into my life as a wife because they know the word of God. And we have to, sometimes we can overwhelm pastors and elders for counsel and instruction and encouragement, but that's why we have the body of Christ. And the pastors and they're part of the body, but there's also other members in the body. So the last one is forgetting. Another pitfall was forgetting that relationships are a work in progress and that it will be challenges. It's not if it's going to be challenges. It will be challenges. And I wish I would have understood that a little bit just a long time ago, because I really set myself up for disappointment because I just felt like we're godly and we're Christians, so, you know, we know the word of God, so it should just be smooth. And it was very disappointing a lot. It was disappointing to be betrayed. It was disappointing to feel like you're given into that relationship and it's not being reciprocated, or to feel like the trust has been betrayed. It's very disappointing, but the fact the Lord knew that. That's why he's given scriptures in Matthew and Luke, and it talks about forgiveness and how to handle conflict, because he knew that we will be offended. And sometimes the offense is intentional, and sometimes it's unintentional. And then just the fact that people would get tired and weary. Like, the Lord is the only one who does not get tired or weary, but we're going to get tired or weary. Isaiah 40 talks about that. Even the young men, I mean, they grow tired and weary. So my encouragement to you is to ask yourself, how are you viewing living out your marriage and community? And if you've been succumbed to some of these pitfalls as well, and I feel like if we could begin to identify and deal with some of these pitfalls, then we could possibly see the beauty and the potential that living out our marriage and community may bring. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Naima. You, you know, I've lived through those encounters with her, and I will say that the Holy Spirit has given an incredible perspective looking back on it. And I thank you for given us the opportunity to share some of those things with you guys. And so we talked about the purpose to reflect Christ, to realize our oneness, our reliance on each other, to regard each member as significant. We talked through some of the pitfalls, just unrealistic expectations, setting ourselves up as judge, undermining or thinking less of other people and only wanting the professionals to talk to us, forgetting that relationships take work in progress. And so I want to talk some about the potential for what God can do in a marriage that is fleshed out in a community context intentionally. One is that we can seek to grow in our marriage. It's an opportunity for growth. Ephesians talks about the growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, as we think about, you know, seeking to grow in our marriage, 2 Peter talks about growing in gentleness and humility, bearing with one another, being eager to maintain the unity that we have. So we get an opportunity to grow as a couple in the context of community. The other potential is how can we make the most out of this community is that we can pray for opportunities to love others and allow them to walk with us. As we think about it, you know, we need each other, and we have to give each other opportunities and give a window into our lives to be able to allow someone to come along and love us. Because how does God express his love to us? Primarily through his people, right? God, I want us to experience your love. I want you to, you know, make yourself more real to me. Well, hey, allow some people to love on you, you know, and be open to it. So it takes a level of humility and allow them to walk alongside you. And then thirdly, there, the other potential that we have is to step into a situation or an instance that we know about with another couple in community. And what that does is it affirms the dignity in that couple, but it also sharpens you. I think my kids had this little coach who were in ballet, and he would say all the time is, let her lesson be your lesson, right? In the context of community and marriage, if you're stepping into it with the power of the Holy Spirit, that couple's lesson is also your lesson. Because as you're helping them, it's sharpening you as well. We've experienced that a number of times. The other potential is we can grow and cultivate community and realize the diversity and the depth of relationships. That community takes work. But the potential there is the fact that you, as a couple, can grow in who you can relate to, the types of people you can relate to, as you take advantage of the community around you. If it's a diverse community, whether it's socioeconomic, whether it's ethnic, whether it's culturally diverse, whether it's age, stage, whatever the case may be, there's a level of diversity that you benefit from by being in the community in marriage and living it out in that context. And so with that said, we also have some promises and benefits, right? And this is where we always want to end on, and we always want to land here, because, to be honest, I think this gives a excellent perspective that this is a thing that God is doing. We're benefiting from it, but God is working this out among us. He's building up his church. He is building up his community. And the marriages and the families within that community can expect certain things. We can expect to be encouraged. We can expect to be challenged and admonished, to be spurred on, to be loved. I mean, it's an incredible opportunity to experience the love of God, as we talked about before. We can expect and benefit from the prayers of others. People are interceding for you because you're doing life together. We can be reminded of God's goodness. You know, man, I don't know how many times I just needed to pick up the phone and talk to somebody and tell me, you know, that, man, God has been good to you in giving you Naima. And I'm like, dog, you're right. We're helped. We're sharpened. We get to have our burdens carried with others. Wow, can you imagine that? Going through life with nobody to help you? It's a lonely place, and it's not what God desires for his people, for his body, particularly in the context of marriage, which should be done in a community so that all of these, you know, great benefits can be realized. And so with that said, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Sounds good. Good ideas. Good concepts. So one of the things that we thought about was just taking some time to just reflect. I think it's probably one of the most underutilized disciplines in our culture today. We just don't reflect on anything. We go from one tweet to the next, you know, keeping up with the next story, trying to keep up with everything that's going on. Part of it is just stage of life, and part of it is just we're victims of our culture and our time. And so I would love for you all to spend some time just reflecting over some of these questions. And if I'm not mistaken, this is that time. You guys can converse with each other, converse amongst yourselves, and think through these questions. What were your thoughts about marriage and purpose and the purpose of community before tonight's talk as we work through it? And then have you been tempted towards isolation in marriage? Why or why not? Just neglecting the benefit of the community. And then what potential do you see in your local community for help towards a healthy marriage? And so just some opportunities to reflect on a few things.